bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
He has been described as one of the funniest men in Britain and certainly one of the sharpest wits. His name is Alan Carr. You may or may not know him from his TV show, Alan Carr, Chatty Man. We are delighted he can join us here. Welcome to Saturday Magazine, Alan.
Hello, love. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And you?
Good. It's 10 p.m. here. I've got my socks on, my water bottles in the bed. I'm ready to go to bed.
Well, we'll try not to keep you too long away from your warm bed. For those playing at home, let's start a little bit back at the start, where you came from. You won a comedy program in 2001, which sort of launched you into the broader comedy sphere in the UK. How did that come about?
Well, it was one of those things. I was working in a call centre, a bit of a dead-end job. I was covered in psoriasis. I get skin disorder, and I was covered in it, and I was so depressed. And I was coming back home to my housemates, and I was just making them laugh about how rubbish my life was. I was telling them about the call centre and how my skin was flaky. It looked like I'd been dipped in Alpen. And then they said, oh, you've got to go on stage and tell people this. And there was like a stand-up comedy night at this pub. And I turned up there and I won the heat. And then I got put through to the BBC final and I won that.
I understand you're as surprised as anybody else that you're able to elevate yourself to that level so quickly.
I know. It was weird. It just happened so quick. And then, yeah. Here I am talking to you.
Well, 15 years later, you've been hosting TV shows for 7 or 8 years now. It's probably a stupid question, but are you surprised by your fame and that people will stop you in the street and say, oh, my God, you're Alan Carr?
People won't stop me in the street because I don't walk anymore. Famous. Are you... I see them from inside of my chauffeur-driven car, but no.
Your carriage.
Yeah, my sedan chair.
Oh, how marvellous.
Listen, who the general public like, and, you know, they watch my shows, and they buy me DVDs and stuff. I am forever thankful. I wear a pinch of yourself every day. I can't. But it was just so lovely. I mean, you know what? If you start thinking about, God, why am I loved so much? Why does everyone want a piece of me? Then you're just going to fail out. You've just got to thank every day and thank all your fans. Just be really positive.
Because I imagine as quickly as it started, it could end. There are a hell of a lot of people in Britain who've got a lot to make jokes about, particularly in your current political climate, but we'll leave that well alone.
Oh, I know. It's so grim here. You know what? I cannot wait to get over there and have a laugh because it is doom and gloom here. I mean, I don't know if you're watching. Oh, my God. Everything is so miserable. I need a laugh.
All right. Alan, just hold on for me for 1 second, won't you? No, I haven't fallen asleep. It's too early in the morning for that. So I'm just making sure that we're not running over somebody else's program.
Oh, no.
No, we're all good. I can edit that little bit out.
What does that mean?
Oh, it just means that there's a button that hasn't been pushed here somewhere.
Oh.
We shall be fine. Let's talk a little bit more about that fame. Your show, and it's interesting, you were talking about how grim the world is, and I don't want to talk about politics because it has been a very difficult week in the UK, but your humour is observational, and I'm curious to know, where do you draw that from?
Well, basically, you just... Well, I mean, I've never been like, listen, anyone who comes to see my shows know there is, the government isn't, no governments are going to come down. There's going to be no coups. And sort of observational comedy, but it is, what I do is, I sing a lot of it with me growing up, being gay and having a football father dad. I think that it made me a bit more of an outsider. And I think when you speak to stand-up comedians, a lot of them are outsiders. A lot of them felt they didn't fit in. They stood on the sidelines. And I think you never really get out of that. So, I mean, I have a little book with me, a little notepad. And when anyone says anything funny or I see something, oh, that could be funny, I just write it down. And then when the book's full, I go get it all together and I create a story and go with it. And then I go on tour. So, yeah, observational humour is... I mean, the ironic thing is sometimes you can be sitting at your desk, you know, and staring down at a blank piece of paper. But then you can go out and walk around town, sit in a cafe, and then you're thinking, oh, that's funny. Oh, yeah. It's weird. Inspiration comes to you at the weirdest moment. Well, it does for me, anyway.
And
it could be my IBS.
The raft of guests that you've had the opportunity to interview are probably some of the, well, they are the biggest known pop stars in the world and actors and comedians. Is there anyone yet who is on your list that you've got your vast production team chasing like mad?
Well, I'd like to have Madonna on because Graham Norton's had him on. Boom, Freudian slip. Now, she definitely won't be coming on because I know she listens to Joy FM. Beyonce, well, I mean, I just want to know what's gone on in that list. Did you see where Solange just went crazy?
No, I don't keep up with a lot of popular culture. I'm a bit more political than popular.
Oh, didn't you see her? Solange started beating up Jay-Z in a lift in front of Beyonce and all the footage came out.
Oh,
and she's
scandalous.
Like one of those cats you get, those feral cats you get in Greece, you know, when you go up and they go and all the claws come out. Yeah, I'd love that. Yeah, but I mean, if it comes, I've sort of had most of them on, like Rihanna and Justin Bieber, Taylor Swift.
Harry Styles.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, maybe a bit, what?
Harry Styles as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love those boys. The 1D boys are great.
So that's your wish list. Who's been the most surprising of your guests? You've had, as we say, there's been a raft of them. Who was the most surprising? You thought somebody might be a bit silly and they're probably quite smart or vice versa.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I said it's surprising, only not for them, but for me, when we had Miley Cyrus on. I mean, we had her on first time, you know, when she's only like, she was like only a little girl. And I said, well, maybe we should like have some sweets in the globe or some cola bottles or something like that, you know, little chewing gum or something, little sweeties for her. I mean, she is like a proper businesswoman, Miley. I was so surprised. She's so focused, you know, still a lot of fun, but I was like, oh my God, you're not like a 15-year-old, do you know what I mean? You know, you expect that, oh, here's a pound, go down the shop and get you some veg or something, or, you know, hello, little girl. But she was like Margaret Thatcher, she was like, meow. That was a surprise. She knew what she wanted. I mean, at 15, I didn't know what I wanted to be, you know, let alone go into that career, but I think they sort of breathe them differently over there, don't they, really?
Well, yeah, quite. And she is the child of Billy Ray Cyrus, so anything was possible.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Alan Carr is my guest. He's about to do another Australian tour, because it's not your first time to Australia, is it?
It's my first stand-up tour in Australia.
I read that you are...
I've worked over there and been a backpacker. I've been one of those poms that everyone hates, with me and six other people in a two-roomed house in Darlinghurst in Sydney. So, yeah, I've done all that.
Did you do the Melbourne International Comedy Festival at one point?
No, I did a TV show over there. I arrived, and then in 24 hours, I was back.
Wow, that's a quick trip.
I didn't even have time to get jet lag. Honestly, I was And you know, the one thing I remember about in Melbourne is that breeze from the Antarctic. Oh my God, it's amazing, isn't it? It's like instant Botox. I look 12. I came out, this wind hit my face. I've never looked so good.
Well, I can tell you it's very early in the morning at the moment when we're talking, and that cold wind from the Antarctic is there with some prevalence. Another question that I wanted to ask, and I don't know if it's inappropriate, and you can tell me to shush if you think so, but your dad was a football player and a football manager and
shush.
Fine, thank you very much.
No, please.
I'm just curious how he dealt with your announcement that you were gay, and you know, I'm assuming he's incredibly proud of your success.
The thing is with me, I never announced it. You know, people say, "What was it like coming out?" I wasn't it. I mean, I would love to have just, you know, at 16, sat my family down and said, "Look, guys, there's something I want to tell you. It might come as a surprise. I'm a homosexual." Well, I mean, people were telling me at 13. I mean, it was only before I knew what gay was. I mean, listen, if I tell my family, "Look, everyone, I'm gay," no one's going to be gasping or grabbing the pearls. It's going to just be like, "Yeah, and?"
Right.
So my dad got used to it, you know, and he's so proud of me now and everything. You know, he is a tough-talking northerner, and he loves football and all that, but, you know, he still loves his son. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And that's incredibly important. So all of those people that you shared a house with back in the days where you were working in a call centre dealing with credit cards, are they now knocking on the door to see if they can score a night in your palace?
Oh, yes, they're all doing that. And they're all, like, coming out the woodwork, going to the newspapers, selling stories, intimate photos of me when I was in my sleeping bag. No. Some of them kept in touch with, some of them I haven't. But the nice thing for me is to come back to Australia and New Zealand when, you know, when I've got a bit more money in my pocket, so I can go out, you know, and go to nice restaurants and really sample it. Because you know what it's like when you're skin and no money and all that. So I'm really seeing this as a second chance. But I want to go back there. And actually, I made friends over there, you know, because I work in a couple of places and I still keep in contact with them. So I think it's going to be really nice. I do. I can't wait.
Well, I work with a lot of restaurants, so make sure when you get here, we hook up and I'll take you out to somewhere a bit posh.
Will you help me find out where to go and stuff?
I'll make you a deal, and I'll make this deal on air. You come back and see us in the studio when you're here, and we'll make sure you go out to some of Melbourne's finest.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Excellent.
Now, remember, I won't look like this. I'll look considerably younger, what with that wind. You'll be like, "Are you Alan Carr's fit younger brother?" I'll be like, "It's Alan. None of my muscles work."
Alan Carr.
I'll be like Nicole Kidman.
indeed, look like a China teapot. Alan Carr's tour, Australian tour, starts on the 22nd of August in Canberra, making its way through Brisbane, Adelaide, Perth, and landing here in Melbourne for the 31st of August before he moves on to the City of Sin. Tickets are on sale Monday, 6th of June. Tickets are on sale now, and do make sure that you get yours. Alan, we're delighted to have shared a few minutes with you, and we look forward to seeing you when you're down under.
Oh, thank you so much. Send my love to Melbourne. See you soon.
We'll do.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.